Hello, welcome to episode 52 of 2P Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show. We got an election coming up soon, Tim.
We have an election underway, I think, don't we?
That's true.
Yeah. Have you been checking in the results?
I have. I've been seeing the results trickle in, and it looks to be a very close race.
Close race between who?
I don't want to say.
Yeah.
That'll be part of the surprise when when we announce the results next week. We are going to have the voting continue through Tuesday, and then next podcast we will announce the results, so you can look forward to that.
Yes.
And this episode is going to be very music-centric. So, to kick things off, we're going to start with a little bit of Rick-a-Rick-it Remix. In this section, I dish out a video game remix favorite of mine, who it's by, and where you can grab it. From the game Ragnarok Online comes the remix Samurai Discotheque by Joshua Morse. Like to add that to your music collection, I've got a link up right now for those of you listening to the M4A version of the podcast. Otherwise, you can just head on over to ocremix.org and track it down yourself. All right, it's time to move on to the topic of the week. And speaking of music, I went ahead and decided I should rent and play Wii Music.
Now, was this after you hit your head and, you know, fell down and got knocked out? Because I heard about that accident.
It wasn't after that. maybe the frustration led me into that accident.
Got it.
I'm like, you know, it is Nintendo, it is music. I do love both. And so I'm like, you know what? What the heck? I'm not going to buy this game. I'm just going to rent it. If I were to say one thing about this game, it's that I have never had to play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star so many times in my entire life.
Because you played it on all 68 instruments or whatever? Or what?
It's like they start out teaching you how to play Wii Music with Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. So you have to go through just that song a couple times.
Wait, they actually have to teach you how to play a game where there's nothing actually to do?
See, that's what's weird, is they have like this teaching mode that you can go through. Where it's like you play, it's totally unnecessary is the problem. It's like this is not needed at all. Like the pace, like I can just do this on my own in custom jam mode. And instead it's like you're teaching me step by step. And I'm like, how many times do I have to do this? This is getting really old. And why does it always have to be freaking Twinkle Twinkle Little Star? And I'm going to blow my brains out if I have to play that song one more time.
Like, they could have at least made it a Nintendo song, right? Like something
you've heard
a million times and you still enjoy hearing, right?
Well, it's like it's like you don't start out with very many songs at all. You start out with like I think like six or seven. Okay, well, let me run down what I believe are the six or seven. Obviously, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. I believe there's Oh Christmas Tree. I believe there's London Bridge is Falling Down. Do Re Mi. It's like,
my goodness,
good lord, people!
They're really, really selling it as an infant's toy.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I'm like, okay. Apparently, this game was made for people 10 and under, because
three and under.
It's like, I will admit, I was having a lot of fun at first. I really was. I mean, when I first played the piano and I just kind of waggled the remote, I'm like, this is cool. I'm making music and these people are playing in a band with me. It's like, I understand some of the creative process that goes into this game where it's like they have all these different genres. They have Latin, electronic, rock, pop, reggae. And and switching out all these different styles and switching out different instruments, you know, you can create very different, you can create some pretty cool versions of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, I will admit. But it's like, it's just really sad about the song selection, because it's like, to be able to unlock, it's like, you don't know how to unlock more songs. They don't tell you how to do it. And I was just totally stumped on how to do it. I'm like, how do you get more songs? And it's like, after you save like six replays, then they just dump like 15 more songs on you. And I'm like, why not just... It's like, they give you two more dumps of songs and a couple others that you can unlock through some various modes. So it's not even like, oh, just play a lot and you'll unlock stuff. It's like, no, you're just stuck with these 6 to 7 really crappy songs and you don't know how to get anything better. It's disturbing. I think what's best about Wii Music is the great length that you can go to make your own songs. For instance, you start Zelda, you can choose the tempo, you can choose how many people are playing, and you take over a part. So like, okay, well, I'm going to make the lead part like a flute. And you play the flute part however you want. And then it basically saves that, like a ghost. And then you can switch to a different part, play the other part, and it just starts adding all the stuff that you've done on top of each other. So you're like, oh, well, I like this, but I didn't like this. I'll go back and redo this, or I'll switch the instrument. And then you can create like some pretty cool songs where it's just all you playing in one big band. And that kind of eliminates the need to have multiple people playing with you. But it's very... There's just not enough there. There's just not. I think there's like 60 instruments or something, and they are pretty funny. You have like a rapper and like turntables and all kinds of instruments. And some of them are just hilarious. Like, you wear like a dog costume and you can bark, and it's just hilarious to watch. But I feel like it just gets old pretty quickly. Like, once you kind of learn an instrument, you're like, all right, I got that instrument. And I mean, for $50, it's definitely not worth it. If it was like some kind of like a Wii Play sort of combo, right, I might understand. But $50 is just absurd for this game. I don't understand how you could do it. It's just...
Well, it seems to me that the core of the game, like, could have been packaged as a WiiWare title. Maybe not that many instruments or whatever, but it's like, it just seems kind of like a tech demo, and they added a few things here and there, a little bit of polish, and
it's weird because I mean, there
just doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, there's moments when I'm playing, I'm like, this is the game, this is Wii Music, I'm having fun, and I can see how this could be a big hit. The problem is that there's just no good songs to play to. There's like, I think 5 or 7 Nintendo songs total. You have like Wii Sports, F-Zero, Zelda, Mario, and like some random KK song from Animal Crossing. And the Animal Crossing
like after,
as well.
After Brawl with a 2,000 songs they had in that, it's like, how does a music game have only, what, 50 songs, and Brawl, like a fighting game, has 200, you know?
It's just, it's weird to me, because it's like, I don't know why they chose so many, like, because, I mean, when I was playing like the Wii Sports song or the Animal Crossing song, I'm like, this is fun, this is the music I want to play, and like, I think you and I could have a lot of fun messing around with like an F-Zero song or something like that. That's very enjoyable to me. But then you have like Frère Jacques stuck in there, and it's just like, it's just like, why these songs? These are terrible. And then most of the instruments themselves don't sound very cool. Like, they sound really cruddy and like just totally synthesized, and it's kind of cute in a way, because it's like, oh, it's like video gamey sounding. But when you actually want to make like a cool sounding song, like, I'm sorry, but the flute just doesn't do it for me. It's just too retarded sounding. So, but I do have an example of the one song that I've spent a lot of work on to make sound really neat and everything, and I've got that here for us to listen to. And since this is an audio podcast, we can take a listen. So, here's my rendition of Zelda.
We'll be right back.
Oh, jeez.
I'm trying my best at a guitar solo. What did you think?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It wasn't perfect in every area, but...
No, it definitely was. It's hard. It's hard to try to stay on beat, even though you have like a metronome tapping its ears out on your Wii Remote speaker.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's like if you put some work into it, I mean, you can make some cool little sounding songs, and it's like, but you need good songs in order to do it. It's like, right. Or else you have no inspiration to want to work harder. All right. Continuing on, a relative of mine in Canada actually remixed one of my songs from my album Jessica and the Silver Eclipse, which came out last year. And since I have nowhere else to play it but right here on our show, then I'm like, hey, you know what? It's my show, my music, nice remix. So,
hey, at least you admit it. It's your podcast, you know.
So
I get no say in it.
Take a listen to the remix of The Hermetic Ring.
Thank you. Cool. Very well done remix.
Yeah, kind of neat. So that was done by Alex Alto of the Scatomatics, and I was very honored to have him do a remix and very happy with how it turned out. Very cool stuff.
I feel like I have to go back and listen to the original again. It's like, I don't remember, now I forget what the original sounded like exactly.
He managed to make it more evil, which kind of made me laugh, because album was dark enough already. To manage to be able to make it even more dark and depressing was pretty funny to me. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was cool.
All right, well, so, moving on to comic talk. This week we had our You're Pushing My Buttons comic, featuring Chip and Sonic in their best of flavors.
Their funny adventures.
Their funny little adventures. Now, did you read what people think Chip is? What animal Chip is?
Well, I had heard people said they thought he was a dog, but I don't know. Is it different now?
I think it's a dog, yeah. From what I've heard, it sounds like a dog who likes chocolate.
I don't understand how it can be a dog. It flies, though, right?
It has wings, yes.
And it has wings, so it's like a fairy dog? And why Chip? I don't understand the name Chip.
Probably for chocolate chip.
Oh, uh-huh.
Oh, they're just... Someone got paid big bucks for that one, I'm telling you.
But see, and here's the thing, is I saw the intro to the game.
Yeah,
the video.
Yeah, you got to see that? Like this 5-minute long intro to Sonic Unleashed.
It's like a Final Fantasy movie, okay?
Oh, it was fantastic. I was blown away.
And then you have Chip in the game.
Yeah, Chip shows up. Yeah, that's...
What I want to know is, why didn't Chip show up in the middle of that awesome movie? Because it would have been horrible.
Yeah, like someone's played the game, and so they record the opening movie, and it's like 5 minutes of like Sonic racing across one of Robotnik's battleships in outer space, you know, having this full-fledged fight with Robotnik in like a robot form, and just turns into Super Sonic, destroys everything, you know, gets turned into Werehog one way or another. It was just fantastic, left to right. I'm like, this is freaking rad as heck. And then the next cutscene I watch is, oh, hey, you know, Chip and Sonic are hanging out, you know, in this sunny area, and Chip is like, Sonic, ooh! I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? Ugh. What happened here? I mean, I am very excited about Sonic Unleashed, because they are doing a lot of things right, and I'm like, okay, this is actually showing potential. For being at this stage, for just a few weeks from release, this is looking really good. But I just have to wait to see what the reviews say, because I can't trust it on looks anymore, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I mean, it actually does look sort of exciting, because, you know, the Sonic parts look like your typical 3D Sonic game, if that's what you like. And
see, I wouldn't say typical, because it's not typical. It's a new style of 3D Sonic that I think works better than the other ones previous. Because, I mean, that's what I was asking for, was 2D Sonic in a 3D view. And that's basically what they've delivered.
And I can't tell how much of it goes head-on and how much of it goes, you know, the sideways 2D look.
Yeah, it's kind of half and half, basically. They change between the two quite often.
Yeah, and I think I'd prefer the 2D view more often, but, you know, I guess we'll have to see how much that is split.
Right, yeah. So we'll see.
But,
we'll see.
It could be good. And I mean, that kind of brings me to my suggestion box question,
yes.
If that's okay.
Oh, yeah, go, you know, ruin my show however often you'd like.
Yeah. you'll just edit it out anyways. Well, Sheppy had... I'm not going to read the whole comment, but Sheppy... And I may have picked him last week or something, but... I don't know. You guys got to come up with better comments, I guess.
Oh my gosh! Tim!
No, he had an insightful comment about 3D Sonic gaming, and... I mean, his complaint is that Sonic fans think that Sonic equals speed, and that it has to be speed the whole time, and you know, that 3D Sonic games are broken in a sense. And I mean, I know you don't particularly agree with that, but I to some extent, I've always felt that way, that a lot of the 3D Sonic games are just kind of too too much on rails, the homing attacks, and everything kind of takes away from the platforming that was fun in 2D Sonic games when, yeah, there were definitely fast parts that were cool to go through, but there was all sorts of different areas to explore. It was always multi-leveled. And even some of the 2D Sonic games I've played more recently, like Sonic Rush, it felt like you were supposed to go fast the whole time, and if you screwed up, you died. And that, to me, isn't... Or you're in an area where it's really hard to get out, and you're kind of screwed the rest of the level. And that just never seemed that fun to me. It's like, how am I supposed to know if I jump off this ledge whether I'll die or whether there'll be like a whole nother area down here? It just...
Right.
There's been a lot of things that are like, that's not like Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3.
That was in the original Sonics as well. I mean, because there's different ways of... in my opinion, I think Sonic Rush did it correctly with speed and platforming. You know, it's just at that pace where there is normal platforming, but once you get really good at it and you know a stage well, then you can blaze as fast as you want. And you don't have to worry about anything.
You can blaze as fast as you want.
So I'm like, I think that's the problem with like the Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, for instance, is that when you have like a loop-de-loop, you can't control a loop-de-loop the same. I mean, before you just held right and you went on a loop-de-loop just fine in a 2D Sonic game. But now it's like, you know, you're holding forward and then you're going upside down. So it has to put some of that on rails for you because it's like, this is just too weird to do in 3D, so we're just going to force the player to do it. And and I think if when you put Sonic in a 2D game again, where he's just going on a 3D loop-de-loop, but in a 2D setting, basically, it's like, then it works again, because it's like, okay, he's just going on a loop-de-loop like we're used to, and I know exactly what happens if I hold the air direction, or if I stop early, or whatever. And I mean, we've talked about this quite a bit. You know, you having a friend in me who's a Sonic freak, you know, unfortunately we get into this conversation quite often, where it's like, basically everyone's tolerance of what fast is has changed over time. Like, when Sonic came out, I mean, that was really fast to everybody. But back then, it was still a fast that it was still like a tolerable fast. You know, you just had to be quick enough. Now it's like, well, that isn't fast anymore, so we have to have Sonic going 300 miles per hour like he is in Sonic Unleashed. I mean, he's literally going 300 miles per hour in Sonic Unleashed. And now it's gotten to the point where, like, it's just so fast, your reaction time can't do it quick enough, unless the situation's right. So in an effort to keep Sonic just as fast as he was in relation, now it's just beyond a point where it's hard to keep, you know, to keep on it with the game.
Now they do bullet time where you're actually going super slow, so you can actually make the motions, but that takes the fun out.
You're too slow. So So I think like the Sonic Adventure games have become more of a racing game than a platforming game, but there's still platforming in it. I mean, there's slower sections and faster sections, and they had a nice balance back then. I think what we're seeing right now with some of these initial levels that we're seeing in Sonic Unleashed, they're just fast the whole way through. I mean, if you think about it, Sonic game first levels have always been pretty easy and pretty, like, you know, effortless. So it's kind of, we're kind of waiting to see what the later levels look like, if they actually require lots of platform. Because Sonic Adventure 2 had like this crazy 3D stage where you were like flipping upside down in all kinds of directions on gravity and flipping different switches. It didn't require a lot of speed. I mean, it was kind of like a puzzle area. So there's been a balance, and it's tough. It's just a hard game to do now, I think.
Well, and Sheppy's point was that, you know, don't rip on the Werehog stuff, because that's kind of like platforming and Sonic doing it, and so it's maybe it's actually a good thing. But, I mean, to me it's like, no, I'd like to see Sonic platforming done right as Sonic, not as some brawler style... you know, Streets of Rage type of game. I get his point that it's like, it would be nice to see Sonic do something other than just run really fast the whole level, but I don't think this is that thing that I'm necessarily looking for.
So we'll see. I don't know. Yeah. I'm getting excited, I will admit. I've been pretty hard on this game, but it's starting to shine a little bit for me, so I'm...
Yeah, we're gonna have to do like a whole big like apology podcast.
We might! If it turns out good, because it looks like they've taken this game a little more seriously, in my opinion. I mean, aside from Chip and the Werehog, everything else looks pretty top-notch. The music and every stuff. The music, especially in the presentation, I think are really, really classy stuff.
Let's just hope that they didn't spend an equal amount of time on the CG intro as the rest of the game.
Right.
I could see them pulling something like that. It's like,
well, it's like the Shadow the Hedgehog right. thing, where I'm like, hey, this CG intro is the best part of the entire game. You know, you're like, haha,
yeah,
very funny.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
And it was. So.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. So you have a comment?
I do. Yeah, mine goes to Black Mage, who said, haven't played it yet. Is it even out? I didn't notice. But once we hit Marine and Sonic Rush Adventure, I figured it could only get better, seeing as how the bar had been now lowered, but seeing as how the bar had been not only lowered, but buried in a nearby mineshaft. Why can't we just have Tails? And I kind of agree with that. I don't see why Tails couldn't just be flying around with Sonic.
I mean, honestly, is it like, imagine every Mario game where you're used to seeing like Luigi alongside Mario, but you never see Luigi anymore. You just see random new creations of sidekicks for Mario or something.
Baby
like that.
DK just shows up.
Yeah. I mean, at least Nintendo relegates those stupid characters to like, you know, sports titles and kart racing.
Right.
Not the main vein of the franchise.
And mini games.
Yeah, so.
Well, we've been talking a lot about Chip, and that just drew the black clouds a little closer. It is time for the dreaded Black Doom Award. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created.
Chip.
I can't get him off my mind. Super Chip, we'll say. He'll probably get all the Chaos Emeralds and do some damage.
Chip the Fairy Dog.
Oh my gosh. Well, my Black Doom Award goes to Nintendo. For recently, the Wii Shop channel was updated, and they are no longer called Wii Points?
Wii Points.
They're no longer called Wii Points. They are now called Nintendo Points. Because the Nintendo DS update has happened in Japan, where the Nintendo DS also has points as well, so they wanted to keep it, you know, they wanted to keep it the same, you know? So, okay, we got Nintendo points to share. Oh, wait, except they're not transferable between the two. Oh. What's up with that?
That's so funny to me, because, the announcement of the name change from Wii Points to Nintendo Points was actually prior to the announcement of the DSi. And when I saw that, and there were some rumors that the DS was going to be redone, so when I saw that, I immediately thought, this is it. That means they're coming out with the new DS, and it's going to have a shop channel all its own. It was like the tip-off that, you know, they're kind of merging the two into just one point system, and it made so much sense. And then when this announcement came out that, oh, you can't use the points across consoles, it's like
why'd you name
then yeah, why change it? So it's like, oh, you have Wii Points here and you have Wii Points there, but those Wii Points can't talk to each other, and it's like, they should be separate. If you're not gonna make them transferable, they should have different names, you know?
No.
Why not call them Xbox Live Arcade Points? You know, they're just as non-transferable. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't. Maybe I don't know. Maybe in the future they will be, but it doesn't. Seems kind of stupid to me.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, good. Good Black Doom Award.
Oh, thank you. You mentioned it to me, so.
Yeah, you stole it, so that's cool.
Interception.
Yeah. Well, I have mine as well, and mine goes to EA, who is rumored to be creating a fitness title for the Wii.
Oh, boy.
Which, in itself, isn't a bad thing. It's like, hey, you know, we got the balance board, so Wii Fit isn't the end-all, be-all of fitness games, so why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except that, oh wait, it has its own peripheral.
Gosh.
If this is true, I'm gonna scream. See, here's the thing. The Wii, this is the ironic thing about the Wii, is that with its motion controls, you can do so many different things with it and simulate so many different, you know, scenarios that the need for peripherals is that much less as opposed to, you know, an Xbox where you can only use one controller, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really wanted to swing a bat in on some Xbox game, you'd have to have a peripheral for that. So it's funny to me that the Wii has more peripherals than like any other, all the other systems combined, right?
Yeah.
And Nintendo's come out with so many of their own, you'd think that the third-party companies would be happy to jump on board with a game for that peripheral and not have to manufacture all this extra stuff.
You know, the next attachment is going to be just a giant A button. You just plug it in.
I don't doubt it, you know. I mean, Namco's got their own, what's it called? Active Life Family Trainer thing. It's supposed to be like the Power Pad come back to life.
Where's the Wii Power Glove? That's what I want to know.
You know, I don't doubt that.
I'd buy it or that I'd care, but it would seem like something they'd want to do again just for kicks.
But see, what's so frustrating is, you know, Nintendo comes out with something like the Balance Board or even Wii Motion Plus, and they come out with that one game that comes packaged with it, and then what? You see a couple other games that utilize the peripheral, and I know the Balance Board's going to have other games coming out, like I guess Tetris Party had a mini game that worked with it, and
you know, okay, I'm
Punch
sick.
Out's gonna work.
I'm sick of the word mini games. I'm sick of it.
Oh, get used to it, Wii fan.
No,
that's all. that's half of what they get.
Do you remember how Sonic and the Secret Rings had like a whole second part of the game that was just all mini games?
Yeah.
Do you remember how bad those were?
Yes, I do. And the funny thing is, mini games used to be like kind of cool. It's like,
cool.
So, something extra.
Awesome. Yeah.
And if I don't like one of them, there's like 50 others, so I can just find the one that I like. But you know what killed it for me was Super Monkey Ball.
Oh.
For the Wii. Because it had like 50
minigames.
Yes,
mini the one games. For the Wii is the one that definitely overdid it. I absolutely agree. There's like 50 of them, 49 of them were broken.
Well, I couldn't even play through all of them because they were so unfun that it's like, if I try one more of these things, it's like, they had Frisbee Golf, and they had so many random things, and none of them were good. They were all broken.
I think my favorite was like the trombone one or whatever, where you had to like
try to extend it to the right note or whatever.
Right, you had to extend your Wii remote towards the screen, you know, for like a longer pitch for like a lower note. And you had to be really accurate with it, because you had to play different notes with different, you know, extensions. And it's like, I mean, anybody who's played the Wii enough knows that moving the Wii remote towards the screen is not the most accurate thing that happens, okay? And there you are, trying to play these notes, you're like, oh, this is the worst idea. Trying to be accurate with, like, pushing towards the screen. Can't register a freaking thing.
They got way too, you know, all they had to do is just focus on the six or nine they used to do and make them work, make them fun, because those were fun on the GameCube. They didn't have to have motion controls to be fun.
And in the end, they were just as crappy as the other minigames that were on there. So I was
Yeah.
But I will say, though, they had like a first-person shooter thing in Monkey Ball.
Mm.
And I thought that one was actually pretty good. It was better than Red Steel, in my opinion. So I was like, see, this can work. This game can work.
Well, we're getting a little off track here.
We're having too much fun, so that clearly means the show is over.
Show's over.
Yeah, we can't continue on a happy note like this.
No more fun. Sorry, Black Doom.
Well, that will do it for this edition of 2P Starts Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
With your bye-bye there.
I know.
I don't know if I can handle it.
Mixing it up, you know.
Vote for me.
Don't.